Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You know, I've often heard non-believers joke about the great party they're going to have in hell. In fact, I once heard a non-believer joke that he'd just wear a flame-retardant suit to escape the fires in hell. And there are a lot of people who don't even think hell exists. But the Bible says it exists. The Bible says it's real. And Jesus said it's real. And I think he knows more about it than either you or I. God's word says that there are eternal realities that every one of us will face one day, heaven and hell. Let's see what the Bible has to say about these eternal realities today on Daily Hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell. In these lessons, Rick makes it very clear that where you spend eternity is really up to you. Just before we begin today's study, you know, Pastor Rick says, while life on earth offers many choices, eternity offers only two, heaven or hell. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a tool to help you understand the magnitude of that eternal choice. It's called the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called The Reality of Hell.
Now, God could take away all the sin, all the suffering, all the sickness, and all the evil in the world just like that. All he has to do is take away your free will and mine too. Now, why does God give us a free will? I'll tell you why. Because he wanted you to choose to love him, not be forced to love him. You see, it's not real love if you're forced to do it. If you are forced to love me, it's not real love. If I'm forced to love you, it's not real love. Love is only love if you can choose not to love. And God gives you the free choice. You don't have to love God. You don't have to trust God. You don't have to obey God. You don't have to follow in the ways. You don't have to fulfill the purpose he created for you. You can make your life a total mess. Why did God do that? Because he wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to do right. And God wanted a family that would live with him forever. And he wanted to produce a race of tested individuals who voluntarily choose to love and do the right thing. And that can't be possible unless we're allowed to do the wrong thing. So it is our greatest blessing and our greatest curse. And it still breaks God's heart today. When we hurt ourselves, when we hurt other people, when we hurt the planet that he's put us on. Now, you need to understand that God allows sin on earth simply for this choice, so you have a choice. But he does not allow any sin in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. There are no imperfections in heaven. It is completely perfect, so there's no sin there. Now, that raises an important problem. Heaven is a perfect place, and that means only perfect people get to go there. Otherwise, if God let imperfect people come in with their selfishness and their sin and their sorrows and all of their sicknesses, then it'd be just like earth. It wouldn't be heaven anymore. I don't want to go to a heaven where Hitler can do his thing, or Pol Pot can do his thing, or a rapist or a genocider, like we heard about last week, can do their thing. No, I want to go to heaven where it's perfect and we're away from all of that. So only perfect people get to go there. Now that's a problem because I'm not perfect and neither are you. Now David asks this question in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 15, 1 and 2, David says, Lord, who may enter your holy tent? Now holy tent is just a euphemism, an analogy for coming into your presence. It's heaven. Who may enter your holy tent? Lord, who may live on your holy mountain? And here's the condition. Only those who are completely blameless and innocent and those who always do what is right. Uh-oh. I don't know about you, but I don't fit that category. I am not blameless. I am not innocent. I do not do what is always right. So I got a problem. There's not a snowball's chance of hell of me getting into heaven unless God comes up with plan B. Because heaven is perfect, and I stopped batting 1,000 about age 1. And by the way, you did too. The Bible says we've all blown it, we've all sinned, everybody. We don't measure up to our own standards, much less God's. And so there has to be a place for evil to go in eternity. If I'm made to last forever and I'm not perfect, then I got to have another place to go to. There is sin and there's evil in the world. Now, there's a second reason for hell, and that's because God is holy and just. He is holy, that means he is perfect. He cannot sin himself. And he's just, that means he believes in justice. He settles the score. He always does the right thing. And the Bible says that one day God is going to balance the books. And God is going to bring justice to the world. And God is going to right the wrongs, and he's going to settle the score, and he's going to even the odds, and he's going to balance the books. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but have you noticed that life is unfair? What if you'd been born in Darfur? Was it fair that you were born in America and somebody else was born in Darfur? That's not really that fair, is it? And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but people get away with all kinds of stuff on Earth, bad stuff. In fact, people get away with murder on Earth. Life is not fair. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but bad things often happen to good people, and good things often happen to bad people. And people who cheat and steal and lie and rob their entire lives often become enormously successful, and they get away literally with murder. While other people who try to do the right thing and live the right way, things don't work out in their lives all the time. Life is not fair. And David said in the Psalms, he said, I would have despaired if I hadn't believed in the goodness of God. In other words, looking at the world, if I just looked at it and go, whoa, this is not fair. People do bad things and get away with it, and people do good things and don't get rewarded for it. If I didn't believe that one day God's going to settle the score, that God is just, he's going to tip the scales and he's going to even it all out, and there will be repayment and justice, it just wouldn't be right. Solomon talks about this. He complains. And he says, God is holy and just, he says in Ecclesiastes 8 these words. He says, I thought about the things that are done in the world, a world where some people have power and others have to suffer under them. Oh man, have I seen that? As I've traveled around the world, I've seen a lot of places where evil people have the power and other people suffer as a result. He says, yes, I've seen the wicked buried and in their graves, but on the way back from the cemetery, people praise them in the very city where they did their evil. And it says, what's wrong with that picture? He says, it's useless. And then he says this, why do people commit crimes so readily? Because crime is not punished quickly enough. In other words, here on earth, you do something bad, you can often get away with it. Crime is not punished quickly enough. He said a sinner may commit 100 crimes and still live. He says, that's just not right. I mean, what would it be like if Stalin and Mao and Hitler, who gassed 6 million Jews, showed up in heaven? There'd be something wrong with heaven. What if bin Laden showed up in heaven after telling everybody to go blow themselves up to help kill other people? One day, God is going to settle the score. Let me show you some verses here on the screen. The Bible says this, for the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the nations fairly and with truth. And by the way, he's the only one who can judge fairly because he's impartial. And the Bible says this, God will do what is right. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, God will do what's right. God is a righteous God. That means he always does what is right. And he will bring suffering on those who make you suffer. You're going, yay, God. He will bring suffering on those who hurt me, who made me suffer. And he'll give relief to you who suffer as well. And he will do this when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven to punish those who reject God, who say, I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to run my own life. I don't need God. I'm going to go my way, not Jesus' way. to punish those who reject God and who do not obey the good news about our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separated from the presence of the Lord. Now notice that last phrase, separated from the presence of the Lord. That's the number one characteristic of hell, separated from the presence of the Lord. People don't realize how bad that is because we have the Lord's presence here. You see, here on earth, even when I reject God, He still shows me grace. I mean, I could be going out here totally ignoring God, and I get all kinds of gifts from God. Because everything you have in your life is a gift from God. The air you breathe, that's a gift from God. The water you drink, that's a gift from God. Your heart beating, that's a gift from God. Everything you have in your life is a gift of God's grace. So even people who don't know the Lord experience God's grace every single day of their life. Your health is a gift from God. Your brain is a gift from God. The weather is a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. Everything you have on this planet is because of God's grace. So we don't know what it means to live without God's grace. We don't really know that because everything God does in your life, He does because He loves you and He's showing you grace at that moment. Now, He says, one day I'm going to settle the score. And you may be thinking, hey, that's great. You know, all the people who hurt me, go get them, Lord. There's only one problem. I'm involved too. Notice the next verse here on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we will all stand before Christ to be judged. In other words, not just my enemies. Uh-oh. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil that we have done in our bodies. Why does hell exist? Because sin and evil exist, and because God is holy and just. Now, what is hell like? Well, it's really hard to explain because it's hard to explain because we don't have the human experience to explain it. It's kind of like trying to explain the internet to an ant. If you had never eaten or seen a piece of pizza, how would you explain it? And so it's really kind of hard. Now, Jesus actually talked more about hell than He did about heaven. But what is hell like? You know, sometimes you hear these guys preaching on hell on television. I call them the hellfire and brimstone. And they're yelling and they're sweating. And, you know, when you listen to them, you kind of think like they want people to go there. You go, what's with that? I don't want anybody to go to hell.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called The Reality of Hell from our series called Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Pastor Rick says the most time you'll spend on earth is 80, 90, or maybe even 100 years, but you will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Some people believe that being a good person is their ticket into heaven, or that this earthly existence is all they have, but nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Rick has asked us to send you the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series, as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This teaching is so vital, you'll want to add it to your library of Christian resources and share it with your friends who may not understand the eternal significance of choices they are making. In this series, Rick tackles questions like, are heaven and hell literal places or just metaphors? What is heaven like? If God is loving, why would He send someone to hell? And what does it really take to get into heaven? This solid biblical look at the ultimate choice we all have to make can be yours today when you support this ministry financially. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request this audio series for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can simply text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
So we don't know what it means to live without God's grace. We don't really know that, because everything God does in your life, he does because he loves you and he's showing you grace at that moment. Now, he says, one day I'm going to settle the score. And you may be thinking, hey, that's great. You know, all the people who hurt me, go get them, Lord. There's only one problem. I'm involved too. Notice the next verse here on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we will all stand before Christ to be judged. In other words, not just my enemies. Uh-oh. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil that we have done in our bodies. Why does hell exist? Because sin and evil exist, and because God is holy and just. Now, what is hell like? Well, it's really hard to explain because we don't have the human experience to explain it. It's kind of like trying to explain the internet to an ant. If you had never eaten or seen a piece of pizza, how would you explain it? And so it's really kind of hard. Now, Jesus actually talked more about hell than he did about heaven. But what is hell like? You know, sometimes you hear these guys preaching on hell on television. I call them the hellfire and brimstone. And they're yelling and they're sweating. And, you know, when you listen to them, you kind of think like they want people to go there. Go, what's with that? I don't want anybody to go to hell. And God certainly doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why he died on the cross. That's how much he considered it important. So this is not something that you're happy about. You certainly don't have to yell about it. But what is hell like? Well, the Bible describes it as a place of torment. In fact, here on the screen, Matthew 8, you've heard about this. In darkness, they will cry out and grit their teeth in pain. And of course, your image of hell, and the Bible talks about this, it says fire and things like this. But you know what the worst part is? You write this down. Hell is total separation from God. That's the worst thing about it. It means I'm totally apart from God's love, totally apart from God's grace. Total separation from God. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says this. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be separated from God, lost forever. In other words, here it is. If I go through my entire life saying, I don't want God in my life on earth. If I don't want God in my life on earth, why in the world would I want to spend eternity with him? I mean, why would I change my mind? Why would I say, I want to live without God on earth, but I want to live with God in heaven? That doesn't make sense. God says, you get to choose. You want to live with me or live without me? But wherever you choose on earth is wherever you're going to choose in heaven or hell. Now, what is hell like? Well, think about this. If it's total separation from God, then it's the exact opposite of everything God is. And we know, for instance, that God is love. That is his nature. God is love. What would it be to live without God completely? It means no love. Now, the Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. The opposite of love is fear. You know what it means to live without love in your life? It means you are scared to death all the time. That's hell. It means you're lonely all the time. That's hell. One of the big myths about hell is that, in hell, it's just going to be a big party for all of the people who like to party. Friends, you're not going to see, no one would see anybody else in hell. It's total separation from God and everybody else. There are no relationships in hell. There are no friends in hell. It's total aloneness. I think of that movie where the guy, some space movie where he's in space on a spacewalk and somebody snips the thing and he floats off into eternity by himself. That would be hell. To spend the rest of eternity all alone and all afraid because there's no love. There's no friendship. You won't see anybody. You wouldn't see anybody in hell. And by the way, there's another myth that Satan is going to be in charge of hell. Wrong. By the way, Satan's not in hell right now. You may not know that. The Bible says he's on earth. Satan's not in hell yet. He's going to be sent there. And when he's there, he's not going to be in charge of it like another kingdom. He's going to be punished. And nobody else is going to see him. He's not going to see anybody else. Now, God is love, so it's no love there. God is light, so hell is complete darkness. God is good, so there's absolutely nothing good in hell. God is life, so that means it'll be eternal death. God is gracious. That means there's no place of grace there. Friends, you don't want to choose hell. And I hope after today, you will never again say to ever anybody, go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell, no matter how much they hurt me. And I hope you'll never again tell a joke on hell, because it's no joke. I beg you to accept the good news. So how do I avoid hell? Is there a way for me to absolutely know for certain I'm going to heaven? Here's the good news. Yep. And when we finish today, we're going to pray a prayer that I want everybody to pray so that everybody here knows for sure you're going to heaven.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Now in today's broadcast, we've talked about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus. Have you ever settled that issue in your life? If you haven't, I don't want to end without giving you this opportunity right now. I don't care where you are, in a car, at home, at school, listening with through earplugs or whatever, this is your moment. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you've never begun a personal relationship with Him, this is your moment to do so right now. I'm going to pray a prayer. And you know, it really doesn't matter what words I pray. What really matters is what you say in your own heart, the attitude of your heart that humbly says to God, yes, God, I need you. I need your son, Jesus. But if you don't know what to pray and you've never stepped across the line spiritually, I'm going to ask you to follow me in this prayer. And as I say it, in your mind, you just say, me too, Jesus, me too. Dear God, I don't understand it all, but I thank you that you love me unconditionally and freely. You made me, you loved me, and you sent Jesus to die for me. I thank you that you're for me, not against me. I thank you that you sent Jesus to save me, not to condemn me. I admit that I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm not good enough. I need Jesus as my Savior. And today, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I ask you into my life. I ask you to fill me with your love. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to learn to love you and to learn to trust you. And I ask you to save me from my past. Save me from my regrets. Save me from my mistakes. Save me from my sins. Save me from my habits and my hurts and my hang-ups. And save me from myself. And I ask you to save me for your purpose, that I might live the life that you created me to live, and then one day be in your family forever in heaven. I pray this in faith and in humility, in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. Do you know the Bible says they're having a party in heaven for you right now? The Bible says every time one person steps across the line, the angels rejoice. So they're having a party for you right now. But you know what? I'd like to have a party for you. And I'd like to know of your decision. If you just invited Christ into your life, you just became a part of the family of God, which means you're now my brother. You're now my sister. So here's what I want you to do. Write me, rick@rickwarren.org, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus Christ into my life so I can send you some materials to help you understand your decision and you can begin to grow on the path to becoming all God meant you to be. God bless you. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.